Guys,
hey,
what is up? Welcome to the show.
Yes,
it's been 2 weeks since we've actually seen each other, and I gotta tell you, I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here too, man.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
I might have to adjust my dosage of Brandon and Jay because it just might be too high right now. I feel a lot better on this lower dosage.
You're like, once a week is just too much.
That's too much. And I get that a lot.
I'm also excited to show you guys some new VR shit tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun.
Yeah. But we should dig right into this shit because we have a lot to talk about because a lot has happened, and I'm sure we'll get sidetracked a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
So
sure.
With that, I say we just drop the intro right here and get into it. Into it. Get into it.
We're getting it.
Ooh, rock and roll.
I was practicing it all day because I don't know my script.
I mean, I could always be louder. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
And nobody asked for this.
A podcast where we dissect reboots, remakes, retcons, and requels of our favorite movies and TV shows.
This week, Lady and the Tramp. And we're also probably going to talk about Star Trek Picard.
So, probably, like, a lot.
Yeah,
real quick.
You guys should be prepared for that.
You're probably going to want to skip to that part because we know that's why everybody listens to
probably.
Us.
Probably.
I'll try and put a time code
for our hot takes on Star Trek.
But before we get there, we have some movies to discuss from our favorite movie release corporation.
Disney.
Our favorite lifestyle conglomerate.
Right? Our favorite Neo corporation overlords.
God.
So the mouse has directed us
to deliver you this official approved message. Lady and the Tramp is good movies.
Phenomenal for everyone.
Watch Lady and the Tramp. We will see you next
buy
week.
Buy more tickets. Buy
and
more Blu-rays.
And communication. Bob Iger is gone. No, seriously. I mean, thoughts and feelings about Lady and the Tramp, guys.
I mean, before Jay just takes a diarrhea.
He looks like he's got something to say.
I thought they were okay. Both of them were okay. The original one was like, wasn't even... I think this is one of those movies that traumatized me as a kid. Because I had weird memories of, like, I remember watching this when I was, like, really, really young. And it brought back weird memories. But it was okay because it was 150 minutes long. It didn't have any memorable songs. Except the Italian one. And then...
Famous spaghetti scene.
It's just it's a quick movie. And then it definitely doesn't deserve an hour and 45 minutes, which you get in the new one.
Well, that's a running pattern. The new ones are always longer.
It has to be. It's frustrating.
I don't understand.
Making it about people more than the animals.
I don't think this one suffered from that as much.
It wasn't as guilty as the other one.
Not as clearly as 101 Dalmatians. Yes. Yeah. I was, like, sitting here just waiting intently for the first time the dogs were going to be alone. And when Lady finally speaks in the live action one, I was like, oh, thank God. Oh my God!
It's gonna be somewhat okay.
Yeah, we're not gonna try and do a whole silent dog movie.
Yeah, no, they definitely talk.
It's gonna be terrible. But yeah, overall, I personally feel the same way you do, Brandon, about the original one.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't like one of my Disney movies growing up. It wasn't like Aladdin where I'd seen it a bunch of times, or 101 Dalmatians where I saw it and I probably a couple times even. I probably saw Lady and the Tramp once, maybe twice in my life.
Oh, I've seen it. I definitely have seen it a few times because I remember that the cats. I was like, oh, this is bringing back memories. I remember,
which is actually the best song.
Yeah, it's one of the. Yeah, yeah, it's all right.
It might actually be.
Yeah.
Compared to the one in the new one, all the songs in the new one were worse, as is tradition.
Yes. Holding pattern.
This is
what the hell.
For King Louis. I will fucking stand by that.
But there's an asterisk next to that. That's because it's Christopher Walken. Yes. And it wasn't actually better. It was just with Christopher Walken.
Listen to it for yourself and judge and tweet us at NAFCAST.
No.
Please do, but I mean, please feel free to tell Jay that he's wrong.
Please reaffirm my beliefs. Reaffirmations.
But
in the morning.
Jay, I know you enjoyed the movies.
No.
As a whole.
No, I mean, like...
You'd think there was a vaccination scene in these movies from the way Jay looks right now.
He's like, real mad.
No, if there was a vaccination scene, I'd be fine with it, Dave.
Yeah, he'd be promoting them.
A scene where they didn't vaccinate the dogs. Yeah. They're like, oh,
well, that's my problem with the whole thing, is that in neither movie do they show a pro-vax stance on vaccinating dogs. And in
you
this
have
day
a
and
responsibility.
Age,
that's
they
huge.
Do.
You've got a platform. You need to be saying things.
Fucking use it and tell these clowns that fucking anti-vax is child abuse, and you're all fucking morons. Oh, God.
You didn't get the metaphor there? There was like a whole... There's message being delivered through the dog catcher, and that he's like diseases, and if you're not wearing the collar, collar is a vaccine.
I got an anti-vax message that the dog catcher was the state, and that is the state trying to stick your kids full of needles at public schools, because that's what we're going to do.
I think you misread that. I think you misread that. Did I? Oh, I think there's a pro-vax message in the fact that once you get the collar, which is a favorable thing, you are now safe from this horrible, the disease of the dog catcher that will put you in the pound and eventually kill you.
Yeah, I subscribe to what he said.
Much like totally. Not being vaccinated.
It's exactly.
You go to the pound and then you die.
When they were writing both of these movies, that's exactly what they had in mind.
That's... Yeah. Well, no, not the first one, but the second one. It was they had to update it for the times, Brandon.
Yeah, they clearly had to get with the.
Well, everybody back in the 60s
did vaccinate.
The
Facebook moms. The Facebook moms who know better than, you know, doctors.
Ironically, they probably were thinking of Facebook moms when they made the remake.
I think so. Well, this was just straight to.
Not for that reason.
Was it straight to Disney Plus?
It was.
Was it?
I think you're right.
I didn't know that.
This is not a theater release.
I think you're
right. I kept seeing it on the front page of Disney Plus, which is why I mentioned it. And but I didn't know it wasn't released in theaters. That was a bad sign right there.
Well, exactly. Ooh. And that's when I was like Googling around on it. Like I saw that first and I was like, oh boy.
Yep. Remember they had like that just string of straight to DVD sequels and stuff like that back in the day?
I guess, yeah.
Like all the Aladdin
like
sequels.
Aladdin,
all the like sequels
Aladdin
to the
10,
good movies.
Return
that
of the Return
really
of Jafar.
Yeah. Hercules 2.
So it's not that anymore. Now we're gonna get into this age of just direct to streaming remakes.
Yeah.
That's what
it's
probably what they're gonna do.
That's actually a really good point. Yeah. This might have been
a
test
low balloon. Risk.
Well, if it's a test pilot, they didn't do well.
Yeah.
It's because I don't think this movie panned well
with
general audiences.
Like it's not gonna pull someone
highly
to the
average. That's what I thought.
You know what I mean?
You're coming there for your Star Wars, your Disney classics, your Marvel movies. Yeah. I don't think you're coming for the remakes. It's something to keep you there.
Again,
if you have kids.
If you have kids, that's a huge part of it.
It's like, oh, new content, I can show my kids.
Exactly.
So they'll shut up.
They don't care.
Just watch this.
It's about the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're totally right.
I thought it sucked.
The remake did suck.
The remake, I was just like not a fan of.
I didn't think it was that bad. But
the original one is, first of all, one of Christine's favorite Disney movies.
Aww, nice.
So she really enjoyed having the opportunity to watch it. But you guys can call me like sexist, whatever, but it doesn't appeal to me as... A movie that I would watch. It's
no,
Lady
totally,
in the Tramp.
It's clearly because it was a female lead, and you are sexist.
Right. She was a co-lead, Jay. I really think the Tramp carried the movie.
Clearly.
But it's a love story at its core.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like a romantic comedy. It's like it's not funny.
It's not even that comedy.
Yeah, it's not that funny. But no, I do see where
but
you're
But in
going.
The sense that it's not meant to be taken seriously.
It is a romance story, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like a silly romance story. Yeah. Like if Hugh Grant were in it.
Sure. Yeah.
You'd be like,
why didn't they get him?
This is a Julia Roberts Hugh Grant joint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Almost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the original one, on the other hand, actually, not having seen it in years, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It, like you said, Brandon, it brought up some weird.
I was
like,
this was probably one of the first ones I had seen.
Some deep memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
The cats always frightened me.
Yeah.
Because
they
like destroy the house, and then it always upset me that the lady gets in trouble for it.
Yes.
Obviously.
I agree. 100%.
I think this burned a primal response in our brains when we were children, for sure. Yeah.
That was another thing. Like, did you notice the speaking of the cats and everything? What's the aunt's name? Christine.
I don't remember.
Aunt Sarah.
Sure.
So. Aunt Sarah, in the first movie, obviously, she's the villain.
Yeah.
She comes in, that's when everything starts going bad, unless maybe the baby's the villain.
I mean,
I'm not
really
sure.
Even like a villain, but
she's the primary antagonist.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, she kicks Lady out of the house, she puts the muzzle on her, she's like...
That
yeah, you're
scene
right, yeah, you're right.
Always.
The muzzle scene?
As a kid, the muzzle, and it still bugged me today.
Still fucked you up?
I fucking hate the muzzle scene. It's like...
It is really
like kind
of really awful,
it's like
yeah.
Like fucking terrible thing to do to a dog.
And then she runs away. And the scene with the beaver when they get it off is so good though.
Yeah.
I love that beaver scene. And they didn't have it in the remake.
No.
He just went to a fountain that
a
looked like
statue.
A beaver.
Yeah,
and I was like, all right. And I like the whole like the monkeys won't understand because they're too much like humans. I thought that was kind of funny and clever. And they just cut all that out. They were like, yeah, we only have 2 hours to get this done.
Yes. Yeah.
We got to cut out the extraneous beaver scene. But
they could have done. A little bit better.
They could have put better things in the movie, but...
Yeah.
Going back to Aunt Sarah, she's, I would argue, the antagonist.
Yeah.
In the first movie, they realize it's kind of a misunderstanding, and in the end, she even sends like a package of dog treats or whatever for Christmas. So even Aunt Sarah kind of gets reformed and realizes the error of her ways. Aunt Sarah is a bitch until the end.
Yeah, exactly. She's a terrible person.
They're like, we're never going to be inviting you over again, Aunt Sarah. And she's like, excuse me? And then they just shut the door in her face. And it's like, fuck Aunt Sarah.
Yeah.
And you never hear from her again. Yeah, which I was like, bitch. Huh.
But also, I feel like they made more of an antagonist of the dog catcher in this one, too.
They did.
Yeah, he was more of a character.
But he had, like, a brain disorder?
Huh?
Yeah.
What was wrong with that dog catcher in the new one? In the original one, you didn't even really see him.
No,
it was just legs down, right?
You didn't see the body or anything like that.
And he's kind of silly. He's getting bit by the tramp. He's falling over himself. In this one, he's like sinister to the point where even the humans are uncomfortable around him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like he's just a little weird.
Like, and there's something wrong
everyone's
with him.
Okay. And he keeps talking about this dog. It's like his white whale.
Yeah.
He's got like an Ahab thing going on where he's just like, I'm looking for one stray.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, oh.
Well, they had to fill out almost 2 hours.
But like, why? They could have just not done 2 hours.
They can't, Dave. That's the problem. They can't. Every single one of these that we watch is going to be close to 2 hours. No matter what we do, forever and ever and ever, for all time, I hate these movies.
But you don't even have to do that if you're putting it straight to Disney, because people aren't paying for a feature-length movie. They're not going to the theater expecting an hour and a half plus.
Well, I think this was probably maybe it started filming as a theatrical release, but eventually maybe they'll get into a more digestible format, but
maybe
it's if they're making a remake of a feature-length movie, it's going to be feature-length, and it's going to be longer than the original because everybody feels like they have to get their money's worth these days, or whatever. My Lord of the Rings theory, anyways.
Yeah,
right. Man, I hope they're done with Lord of the Rings.
Isn't there going to be a show on Amazon?
I don't know.
Pretty sure there is,
about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So they're just going to be walking to a volcano.
No, there's a vast history.
Yeah,
it's going to be.
It's like Game of Thrones. They've got like thousands of years of history written down.
The Silmarillion.
Yeah.
It's going to be something like
that. They can just pull something from about the elves and Valinor and the fucking trees.
From what
and
I understand,
shit.
It's whoever Legolas's dad is, who's in The Hobbit or whatever.
Oh, Pegasus.
Yep.
It's a prequel.
Mm-hmm. It's maybe.
Man,
elves live forever, so I don't know.
If it's
That's
a prequel,
Amazon, chill.
Don't put Legolas in it, because we know he lives, and it sucks all the tension out of every scene.
Exactly.
Like a little movie you may have heard of called Ranger Solo.
As it was known in China, Ranger Solo.
Because Hyperfuel is so important. So important to this series we've all come to know and love. We made it 7 movies without talking about... Never mind, I can't.
I know, we're not going down that road.
I mean, look, they need fuel for their... Starship. Look, it was a key plot point in episode 8 that apparently fuel is the thing in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, they forgot about it by episode 9, though.
I'll tell you what, I must have read over 100 Star Wars books. It was like an issue twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the sense that you had to go somewhere and get fuel.
But it was, and like once in combat, but it was X-Wings needing belly fuel pods in the original Rogue Squadron novel. Like,
yeah, because they were going extra far.
Borealis. They had a long jump, and then they had a long fight in atmosphere. And it actually made sense.
Here we go.
In the context of the story.
And you haven't seen the Clone Wars. It just baffles me.
They should just make the X-Wing novels into a fucking TV show.
They should.
They really should.
But then they'd have to pay somebody.
Yep.
Michael Stackpole.
Yep.
And Aaron Alston.
We don't like paying people. We paid $4 billion for these.
Yes.
Yep.
$4 billion.
And they're really not making as many returns as they thought they would.
Have they recouped yet? They must have recouped.
Oh, they did.
I'm sure.
At least for the movies, yes. But I think Solo specifically didn't make its money back, or it barely did. It wasn't seen as a success, for sure.
Yeah.
They were hoping for $1 billion fucking out of the park thing, and it wasn't.
What movie were they watching in the screen?
I don't know.
I heard something really funny. The guy was saying when you watch the 3 movies now, it's like the second one says fuck you to the first one, and the third one retcons the whole second one.
Yes.
And it's the cinematic equivalent of 2 directors fighting over whose toys get to be in the toy box.
Yeah, exactly, in the
sandbox. Mm-hmm. Except for the sandbox costs $4 billion.
Oh, there's definitely scenes in 9 where it's like,
it's a big fuck
like,
you.
Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah,
fuck you.
The lightsaber scene in particular with Luke's Force Ghost, where he looks like right in the camera and is like, a Jedi's weapon should be treated with more respect.
You hear that, Ryan?
Ryan. He mumbles under his breath.
It was just a big Ryan contest, Johnson. Yeah.
Your dad's you Palpatine.
Son of a bitch.
Ryan.
God.
Yep. Luke even goes, he's like, I was wrong. So the delivery of some of his lines is so deliberate.
Well, and because Mark Hamill did not like what Ryan Johnson did.
No.
Like, he is on record multiple times. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine he was very... very happy to be delivering some of those lines.
Laughing all his way to his whole way to the bank. Yep. Laughing his whole way out of the theater. Just, whoo boy.
I don't know. I'm still satisfied by episode 9.
Oh, absolutely.
It still has its problems for sure. But I was satisfied. It ended it in a way that was acceptable and wasn't just a complete mess.
It didn't shit.
There were problems, but
on the fandom.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's fairly true. A lot of the writing, I think, was cheap. But I think J.J. Abrams is just a lazy writer.
He's a shit writer.
Because he's just like, Mystery Box. Writer. And then he's got to pay all these things off. And like they all suck.
He's a terrible writer.
But that's besides it. I heard, actually, he was not even aware of some of the edits that they made to the final release of the movie.
The J.J. cut was 3:10, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard multiple stories on whether that's a real thing.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've heard
I don't know.
He was not... Yeah, some of the edits he didn't even know about. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't forgive some of the other shit in there. Like, there's just some shitty writing.
Yeah.
I mean, in all three movies, the problem is you got to look at it as a trilogy as a whole, and now the trilogy just looks like shit.
It's kind of busted, yeah.
It's all disjointed, and if you're going to make, like, your... I was thinking about subverting expectations. You subvert expectations at the end or at the beginning. You don't do it in the middle, because then you have nothing to do at the end.
Exactly.
Everything's all fucky.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, you do like a Game of Thrones where you subvert it in the beginning and you cut off Ned Stark's head, spoilers, or you do it at the end where
expecting one payoff and you get the other. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how you end your story.
Mm-hmm. You don't subvert expectations every scene, which is really what he tried to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to be fair to him, his movie would work way better as the end to a series or a trilogy than it does as the middle part.
Yeah.
This still doesn't make it great, but...
Yeah.
I think it would be better placed after anything.
His movie more of like a side quest. Like
It's exactly... That's an interesting way to
Rey,
think about it.
Almost take Rey and Kylo... Now that we're just going to relitigate episode 8.
Here we are.
But...
Because that's the crux of the issue.
Starting with Lady
and
the Tramp,
we're already
here. It's
the most important part of the trilogy, and you got it's
almost like a side story if you take Rey and Kylo out of it, and then you have this like self-contained 24-hour, like takes place in 24 hours type of thing where... And you don't go to the fucking planet with Finn. It's almost like take the main characters out of it and make it a side quest and do it like a branch movie. I don't know. Then it would work for me.
After episode 7, if you pretend that Luke and Snoke had heart attacks, you can just go straight to episode 9.
No, you still make episode 8.
I didn't come up with that either. I heard somebody say that. I know.
But like, it's almost like... I'm sure you guys are familiar with this is a Star Wars lore deep cut, but before Hoth, there was the Battle of Dara 4, right?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Hasn't seen the Clone Wars.
Anyway,
go on, Jay. Damn.
So the Battle of Dara 4 was where the rebels were handed like a crushing defeat, like happened in episode 8, you know, and that's what it almost reminds me of, where like that's the Battle of Dara 4, where before they go into hiding at Hoth and they have to seclude themselves there and just hope and lick their wounds to recover. Like, we just watched that happen. Mm. And it was just not worth 2.5 hours.
It would have been better at the beginning too. To expand upon your point, we had the heroes in a position of victory when we last saw them. You can then take the first episode of that and deal them a crushing defeat, and now they're the underdogs again, which is where you want your heroes, obviously. So they could just do that, and said that happened before A New Hope.
Empire. I should say.
Oh, before the Battle of Hoth.
Between
Yavin
and Empire, there was the Battle of Dara 4.
There's another weird gap. Although the one between Empire and Jedi is
Shadows of the Empire. It'll always be Shadows of the Empire.
That's not canon anymore.
I know, and it kills me.
Is it really? Oh, I guess you're right. Yep, it's not.
Yeah, Dash Rendar and the Outrider.
And Zizor.
Oh, God.
The Black Sun.
That game was fun as fuck.
It was
a multimedia thing. Like there was a book. There's the book, which is really good.
Yeah.
I think it was a comic as well. The game, and actually a soundtrack to it, which I had. A soundtrack to a movie that didn't really exist, but it was like it took cues from it as if it was a movie.
Oh, it was really cool.
Yeah. But it was this whole like cross. It was one of those first like cross media things that they were trying to do, and they were basically like, "It's a lost episode. Here's this episode in between."
The game turned out well. The
game was great.
I did go back and try to play it recently.
It's not great. The controls are real bad.
It's tough.
Yeah, controls back in the day, they just hadn't figured out all the buttons yet. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've gotten to a good point in controller technology.
It was like, I mean, a shooter on a one stick. It's a one stick shooter.
It does a lot of things, but yeah, it's mainly a shooter. Yeah.
Yeah. The flying parts were the best.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love the review for Rogue Squadron. It was Shadows of the Empire, the parts that didn't suck.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they did. They took the good parts and made Rogue Squadron. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
You're not talking about Rogue One, right?
No. I'm talking about Rogue Squadron.
Right.
Keep up, audience. Keep up.
Yeah. Because I thought you might be talking about Rogue One. I could see how you'd get confused. Listen, because they're so similar.
If you're confused by anything I say, you could just go on Wikipedia.
Of course.
Just fucking look it up. Do the work for yourselves, assholes.
Jay's new nickname, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
What's up, Wikipedia?
I am. I'm a fucking walking Wikipedia.
You know more about Star Wars than probably anyone I know.
Yep.
And I thought I knew some shit about Star Wars, I got to tell you. But wow.
Dude, I had this. So like, let's be real nerds. You guys have the thick ass? It was like the Star Wars encyclopedia.
Oh, yeah.
It must've been like, you know, that big black one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I read that thing from cover to cover.
Me too.
Like just like no stories in it. It's just like Wikipedia in book form.
I think I had that.
All the technical manuals. Those I still have.
Oh, yeah. I still have the technical manuals.
I never got into those.
Oh, those were fun. God. Those were great.
Cause it was always like, that was before. Not before the internet, but before
the web as we know it. Yeah.
So like when you're like, oh, I wonder what this fucking K-wing bomber from the Fifth Fleet looks like.
And you could look it up.
And I could look it up.
But dude, like I just don't know where you kept all this over the years.
In my brain.
I just don't know how you had room. It just didn't like mine got lost.
Other things had to go, man.
I ran out of hard drive
space.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, oh, you mean like in my head or where I kept it in my room?
You know, in your head, yeah. Obviously, yeah, you sacrifice friendships and loved ones. And
there's a lot of space up
relationships
here.
Relationships.
There's a couple terabytes.
Yeah, fair enough.
I can't imagine how much of it like is devoted quantum to Star computer. Wars. And yet still no Clone Wars in there.
I know.
It's just,
I know.
That's the thing. Some things have to go.
Your collection is incomplete.
Some things.
You really should give it a chance. Like, it's good.
Can't recommend it highly enough. Just like I can't recommend The Lady and the Tramp.
Thanks.
Highly enough.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back to The Lady and the Tramp. So the thing about The Lady and the Tramp is...
It sucks.
It's all right.
It's problematic.
Whoa. Woke Dave. Woke Dave using problematic.
The best song in it...
Is really racist.
Might be racist.
It totally is.
But you know my stance on accents. I don't think accents are racist. Because if you're a white guy and you grew up in China, you're going to sound a certain way. So it's irregardless of race. So have you ever seen a black person who speaks with a British accent? It's like it has nothing to do with your race. It has to do with where you were born.
I think it all depends on how you're using it.
I absolutely agree.
It's like John, Daily Show with John Stewart.
Oh, John Stewart.
John Stewart. He did an interview with Chris Wallace on... This is like 8-9 years ago where Wallace calls him out on... who's the... Howard Dean, the black candidate in 2012 for the Republican nomination. And he had this whole thing where he said, I'm going to make all bills 3 pages. And so John Stewart has this thing where he's like, when I'm president, I'm going to make all bills 3 pages. My name is Howard Dean, and I do not like to read.
Yeah.
Which is fucking funny.
It is fucking funny, but so arguably a little racist.
That's where Wallace goes. And then John Oliver looks at him and goes, want to hear my Asian voice? You want to hear my British voice? You want to hear my Southern guy voice? Like,
that's my point. You can do it. Doesn't really matter.
It's a joke. Yeah. If it's a joke, it's a joke. But if it's like doing it, it's the intent behind it.
Absolutely.
It's
a huge driving factor in making that determination. And I don't think there was a mean intent in Lady and the Tramp.
I would imagine not.
But there is a certain, like, the fact that they're Siamese cats.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
And
the,
yeah.
I don't know. It even made me uncomfortable.
Exactly. That says a lot.
Is what I'm saying.
So clearly it was problematic.
But here's the thing. Just because it makes somebody uncomfortable, including myself, doesn't necessarily mean it's racist or inappropriate.
I would say it's problematic. But
people have different sensibilities. Yeah. Some people would be offended by the Jon Stewart joke. So what do my sensibilities really matter?
So problematic.
Yeah, I'd say just problematic.
In my opinion, but that doesn't mean I have a problem with the movie.
Yeah, no.
And frankly, it might have been the best song. Only second to the other problematic part, which was the very really stereotypically depicted Italians who run an Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so wait. If there was a Chinese guy in there speaking with the Siamese voice and running a Chinese restaurant, you don't think there'd be people who thought that was racist, right?
I mean, yeah.
Italians are white people now. Yep. That's no, but
now,
that's
but
what
not it, back that, then, no, Jay.
You're not wrong, and that's what it is, though. But that's why it wouldn't be
Jay's,
now.
I think Jay's right.
Italians totally are white people now.
I don't think either one matters. is my point. If one's racist, the other one might have to be racist.
Yeah.
And as an Italian, I don't care about the other one. So I'm not sure if either one of them is racist.
I don't think either one of them. Are we talking from the 50s?
Yeah, the original
one. Yeah, because
they took the Siamese cats out entirely of the remake. Mm-hmm. They're different cats, and they changed the song.
You're right.
Yeah.
I mean,
which I get why they did.
Yeah.
No, and
for
that's
sure.
another product of its time thing.
Yeah.
Like, where you can't.
Excuse me.
I don't know if I would attribute racism to that. Where I might to what is it? The Jim Crows in was it Dumbo or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's another weird one.
That one I would be more apt to say is racist than anything in this movie.
I'll tell you what, I haven't seen Dumbo in probably
since
I've seen Lady and the Tramp. And I was thinking for next week.
Well, we gotta check.
We could do. I think I checked and I think it's there.
Is it out? Oh, shit.
Is it out
both
now?
Of them?
I thought so. Brandon, if you could double check that for me because you have it on your phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I figured we do Dumbo and then we do The Lion King. And then we take a nice little Disney break.
God, I hope so.
From will our mouse overlord allow us?
Yeah, I work some out with Bob. but he does insist that we revisit some of the lesser known Disney movies, like The Parent Trap. There's movies out there that you don't think of as Disney movies.
So, like Harpy the Love Bug, dude.
Christine's got something to say.
Pete's Dragon.
That's a Disney movie.
That's true.
Yep.
Did they redo it?
So we'll.
They did redo it recently. Yeah.
So we'll throw a bunch of those in there. But I was thinking Dumbo and then The Lion King, for our next.
Guys, we could do as many as we want. There's still so many.
We could literally do a year. We could do a year.
It could be the year of Disney.
The year of the mouse. Ooh.
Every year is the year
of
Disney.
The mouse.
The year of the rat.
Praise be. Praise be.
Oh my God. Praise be. Peace be to him.
Glory unto his ears.
And thanks. For the bounty that we have been given.
Oh, $10.99 a month. A mere
tithe. For less than $10 a month, you too can be saved.
Yep.
And bask in his glory.
Jesus doesn't save.
All hail Bob.
But Disney Plus does.
Bob and the mouse. The mouse and his son, whom he sent unto us, Bob Iger.
And we say unto you, M-I-C... K-E-Y.
And you reply.
M-O-U-S-E. but
in
yeah,
Walt's
it, was,
name,
it was okay. Both these movies were okay.
What I like about the original and the message I didn't get as a child and came back to is that it is saying a lot of things in the movie to young people.
Yes, to kids.
Yeah. I mean, just the title, Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
It's like, it's... Women, it's like, hey, you shouldn't believe everything a man tells you because there are tramps out there who will tell you anything to get you to do whatever. Yeah. And it's like a message against being naive and seeing what you want to see in people.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the tramp, it's like, hey, you can't run around your whole life and be
straight up.
You know, was it Footloose and Fancy Free?
Yes.
You know, be just kicking back at some point.
You get STDs.
Yes. You get fleas.
Yes.
That's right.
Which with the metaphor. For STDs.
No, but there's something better, Jay. There's more to life than just being a carefree dog
yes,
who lives
yes.
in the train yard?
In the new one, yeah.
In the new one, it's the train yard.
I think it was the train yard in both. They just didn't make as big a deal out of it.
I was
going to
say,
original.
Yeah, if they didn't really.
He gets up in a barrel or something.
Oh. Yeah.
But
oh,
I feel like they were trying to deliver similar messages in the remake, but because of all the extraneous gobbledygook they added in there, it wasn't delivered as clearly.
I agree.
Like, it was really easy to, for kids.
I mean, it's the original. I see it also as like a, hey, you know, if you, especially for kids with siblings, like the older sibling and then there's a new baby in the house, that's a big message.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah, then there and was that scene, especially another good one. In the original, yeah. Like, what's, mm-hmm. it was like, what's a...
And then in the new one, they had the, you know, the same message. It's like, it's the same house, it's just bigger or whatever, yeah. right? Or the same right. world, just bigger. Because well, we have somebody new in it.
In the end, it's there's enough love to go around for everybody, including the tramp and mm-hmm. The new puppies. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, there's absolutely that in there, too. And there's that's my point. They're saying a lot of stuff
yeah.
in a short period of time, and it all comes across very clean.
Yes.
And in the remake, they're trying to say something.
Well, they don't faff about in the original. There's no, like, no, just
dicking
around. No,
they were saying, fucking pay me.
Yeah, yeah they
That's
were.
That's what they were saying.
They were saying, we need to get this movie over a mm-hmm. certain length so we can get that cheddar.
Yeah.
And, boy, yeah. did that not work out. It just
it could have been trimmed down big time.
Yeah, it yeah. could.
It could have been trimmed down and shaped up.
Yes, it could have been punched up for sure. Yeah, the script was bleh.
Even easy
there was
things.
Those stupid, like, again, that quippy humor that I didn't like in the last one. Like, there were a couple moments of this where I was like, come on. Really? Like,
Do you remember
mm-hmm.
in the original when the hound with the nose
mm-hmm.
And the little yappy dog are. Christine, what are their names?
Oh.
Trusty and Jacques.
Yeah. Trusty and Jacques, thank you. Yes, because it's Trusty. When they're chasing down the tramp at the mm-hmm. end, they do that cool effect with the water where Trusty is sniffing at the street, and it's like the splashes are coming up from the puddles, but the street itself is like, it's like almost like a gesso. There's like an interesting lighting effect hmm. on it.
Okay.
I always remembered it because it sticks out at the end of the movie, and it's like this clearly different, like, stylized shot.
Hmm.
In the new one, they clearly had a memory of it because yeah. Trusty, they make like,
oh,
like he steps
that.
In a puddle
yep.
and then
yeah,
like you look up and it's like him. And I was just like, so you remember that there was a cool thing there.
Yes.
And but then you just had him like walk across a puddle. Yeah. And I was like, why? You already had a cool thing they were doing. Do a cool thing.
Yep. Nope, they didn't want to.
And then, of course, at the end, Trusty isn't the one to...
Yeah, that was the only different, really, like, mm-hmm. story beat, I guess.
I mean, it has to be Lady.
Yeah. What? No.
Well, yeah, doesn't Lady in the new one, she's the one you think is injured or whatever?
No, it was Tramp in the new one.
Oh, you're right. It was Tramp.
Trusty in the old one.
Yeah. But Lady's the one who runs the thing off the road.
Yes.
Whereas it's Trusty in the original, mm-hmm. and that's how he hurts himself. And it's like a fake-out death.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was disturbing as a kid.
Yeah, you always thought, but then they quickly...
They do quit. They like, do very quickly.
Literally the next scene, and 2 seconds later, that you see him walking up the steps.
It's like the one type of fake-out death that I'm like marginally forgiving of.
Yeah.
When you do it at the end... And it's and you think, oh, is that person dead? And you don't get confirmation, and then they're back in the next scene and in like a cast.
Yeah.
The kind of fake out death that I'm not okay with is, I don't know, when you like fry Chewbacca in a goddamn transport. We already know he's not dead because you fucking saw him in the fucking preview.
God, we're back again.
Goddamn Millennium Falcon with Lando, who's more charismatic than Princess fucking Leia, apparently, because everybody, Lando just
so
showed up, fucked a bunch of robots, and was like, hey, you guys want to come save the universe? And everyone was like, yeah, we didn't show up in The Last Jedi.
Oh, it's you asking, I guess. We'll
thanks,
be there.
Lando. You brought us all together, you yep. scoundrel, swindler, double-crosser.
He's got connections with the Smugglers Alliance. Talon Card.
The Smugglers Alliance.
Yeah, the Smugglers Alliance.
That's not who showed up. It was
that
everybody.
That was the Smugglers Alliance.
That's Legends, Jay.
It's in my head. That's my head canon.
It's dead.
It's fine, Jay.
Dude, my head canon makes that movie so much better.
Whatever makes
my head canon makes that movie fucking amazing.
Whatever makes your life more livable, it does not help the movie. It helps you.
Helps it right
it
here.
It doesn't help the movie.
Helps it right here.
Speaking of things that need help, you guys want to talk about Star Trek Picard?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Excuse me. I mean, what are we? Is it like 37?
Yeah, we're about halfway.
All right. It's
surprised we did 37 on it.
Take a 2 second break, stretch our legs, recoup, and do like a Picard.
Okay.
Star Trek Picard, guys.
Ah, well.
I gotta tell you. I went into this.
I'm sure you went in very optimistic.
I also went in with kind of low expectations.
With bare
yeah.
in the dirt
yeah.
expectations.
I was kind of jaded after Discovery too. I'm not going to lie.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I still liked
Discovery,
but I was like
I liked it.
I went in with low expectations and I'm
liked
on board.
Is strong. I'm going to see. I haven't been
Yeah, well, I mean
I expect it to be totally repulsed and just be like, ah, fuck this shit.
I know.
And, but now I'm like, okay, let's see what episode two has.
Yeah.
Let's see what it brings.
Exactly. I was like skeptical throughout the whole thing, but by the end of it, I was like, all right, you got me.
They hooked me right at the beginning. Like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning where they're like, oh, let's do a tight zoom in on the Enterprise D.
Yeah.
Let's go right into 10 forward.
That was such bullshit fan service.
It totally worked.
Yeah.
It was 100%.
But they were like blatant about it, and you were like, all right, it's a wink, wink, and a nudge.
Yeah, see what you're doing.
We're all doing here. We all wanted to see the Enterprise. It gives you warm fuzzies inside. Yeah. And then, you know, you zoom in on not look at the good data.
No.
Brent, I love
poor
you, buddy.
Brent.
You gotta get to the gym. I mean, and Picard needs to eat more. Fucking Jean-Luc.
I know.
You are looking.
Well,
that was.
He's pretty old.
There were good things to be said, but it definitely had its problems.
Yeah.
First of which is that Patrick Stewart does not look good.
Yeah,
you got to think this is how he looks after spending how many hours in a makeup chair.
Yeah,
so
I mean he's in his 80s.
I know. I'm not saying for his age it's bad or anything, but like you got an 80-year-old man starring in.
Yeah, like we better get
the show
done quick.
Yeah,
like
well, they signed for second season.
Yeah, right? Oh yeah.
It's so weird. And how do you name the show Picard but then transfer to a new hand pass the torch?
No, when he dies, it's gonna be.
Oh.
I don't see them continuing.
Let's hope he doesn't for a long time.
Yeah. I mean,
if Patrick Stewart is one of those people who should live forever.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
But I mean, like 7 years is the best we ever get of Star Trek. So if we get
seven years, I would be
first
surprised.
I'd be surprised.
I don't think we'll get
I think they only want to do three at this point. Like they've kind of got it written for three.
And when you write a nice tight series and you know where you're going to end it, I mean, three seasons can be fine.
Absolutely.
I'm a five seasoner. I feel like you can go up to five seasons, and every time after that, it starts going downhill.
Yeah.
I think DS9 is the only trick that got
the strongest.
Well, I mean, I might even. No, TNG season 7 was kind of hard garbage.
Yeah, but.
Except for All Good Things, which is like amazing.
Oh, great.
Well, yeah. Shit.
Yeah. But I think TNG and DS9 were both pretty good to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
I think that got way DS9 got stronger.
Obviously.
Only got
I like
stronger
Voyager
as
for
on.
Christ's sake. So.
That
I mean, I'll
too,
watch Voyager. Like that's the thing.
You're such
like
a masochist.
Steve Shives,
such a masochist.
Steve
you
Shives
hate it, but you watch it.
Puts it so well
because it's Star Trek.
Because he goes, it's Star Trek, and he goes, and any Star Trek is perfectly acceptable
exactly.
Star Trek.
Yeah.
And that's what Voyager is to me. It's just. It's perfectly acceptable Star Trek. Like, if it's on, I'll fucking watch it.
Exactly.
Like, and I might go out of my way to watch one of the better episodes.
I mean, it's beyond perfectly good Star Trek. It's thematically consistent with the Star Trek brand in a way that these new series are not.
Very much, yeah.
And even Enterprise wasn't so much.
Exactly.
It's more Star Trek of your Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's consistent technology, consistent appearance of
the
consistent... you know, lore and storylines and for the most part, they don't like. It's not like you watch Discovery and the Klingons are like, whoa.
Okay, fair. yeah.
There's a general thing going on, and they reference things from other time periods, and that it affects them, and not just like a fan servicey reference to history.
Exactly.
Like, oh, 100 years ago, this guy named Picard did a thing, and that's why it came up in this. Thing we're this other thing we're doing, like it like affected there, like Jean-Luc Picard is on the first episode of DS9.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
he's such.
Well,
a,
I do like how they tied that
part of Sisko's. Yeah,
fucking Berman
fucked
that up. That's another thing Berman fucked up.
How so?
Was that it was originally supposed to the D or the Star Trek? What's this fucking? And now I'm gonna blank on. There are four lights. The Chain of Command. Chain of Command was originally supposed to be part of a lead-in to Deep Space Nine. That's introduced the Cardassians.
Oh.
But Deep Space Nine, they ended up premiering Deep Space Nine first. And then Chain of Command, for whatever reason, got pushed back in the air date schedule.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
At the same time, it still works, though, because you're introducing Cardassians in one and reinforcing
it
with another.
Yeah.
So... Again, it's like a thing. It's TNG, DS9, Voyager. They all kind of go together as a package.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the new stuff. You've got Discovery and Picard now, and somewhere in the middle there was Enterprise. And then you have, of course, the classic Trek,
which is also its own thing,
underrated and started it all. And you have to appreciate some good schlock.
Absolutely,
staying on the carpet.
Yeah, it's. It's just so pricelessly what it was,
yes.
And yet so much more that and you have to be ready for that because it's not polished.
Yeah, you have to go into it with 1967 glasses.
I'll tell you what, Picard was polished.
Yes. Picard was very shiny.
The effects are over and above a lot of what you see in other series. Mm-hmm. I didn't like some of the fighting with what's-her-face,
Dodge,
the girl,
Dodge.
Yeah, like when she neos her way up the steps, like that one jump. I was like, I get it. She's an android.
Yeah, I was like, that one's a little like, okay.
Yeah.
She's an exactly.
You never show her basically warping up there.
Android, like. She's great. Like, she could do everything.
And as a critique of the combat, which was way un-Star Trek-y.
Exactly.
It's, you're doing like
we need some two-hand fists over the shoulder.
Yeah.
That's Kurtzman.
Who did the 2009 into Discovery. And
That's where he does good Trek and bad Trek. The
agreed.
Combat, they fuck up.
It's very Matrix-y.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Two people had knives thrown into their chests.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are we doing?
Yes.
They.
I agree.
When they go in to kidnap Dash in the beginning, and they come in and they throw a knife at the boyfriend, who was like a total bro, by the way. And I was like, he said dude, and I was like, don't say dude in Star Trek.
You're not allowed to say dude in Star Trek.
Yeah. And they throw a knife
at
him.
That's why he died.
And I was like, wait, are these Klingons? What's happening? And then... I was like, you have phasers. What's happening?
I know. Why did they? Yep.
Stun setting. You just come right in, and then they go to put her out, and he's like, knock her out. And the guy goes to hit her in the head. I'm like, you have hypo sprays.
I know. That's
there's a technology for that.
Red Letter said that. They were like, really? You're going to use a bag? You have phasers. You have stun setting. Yeah. You transported the room. Just stun. That's it.
You have a phaser rifle that Section 31 created that can literally transport a fucking bullet through, it's a transporter. Sniper rifle. Like, that exists.
One of the worst episodes.
That technology exists.
Oh, with Jorin? Yeah, that was a terrible episode.
Isn't that a good Ezri episode?
It's a good Ezri episode.
It's just a bad episode. It's a bad episode, but it's a good Ezri episode.
It's a good, she does a good job at it, but it's like...
There's
it's
not a lot going on, I guess.
Fucking episode.
But yeah, I mean, like, it was, aside from the combat, which I do not... Which is not a big fan of. I agree with you.
She's doing a lot of flipping. She's on the ground a lot, which is like... Not advantageous.
Yeah,
she's an android. How come Data would just like crush your face?
Exactly.
Yeah, like if she's an android and she's Data style, whatever. She's his daughter.
When Data goes fucking ham.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
He just fucking kills people. Like just dead.
He can, like, rip metal. Like he can. Yeah.
There was that episode where Natasha Yar's sister tries to shoot him with the phaser, and he literally like moves out of the way because he's an android and processes things at billions of times per second, and. In this, she just runs straight at a guy who shoots at her, and he's just shooting, and she's just running, and he just misses every shot. And I was like, you could have done something cool where, like, she dodges shit and is all androidy and superhuman, but practically.
Yeah.
And you just decided not to do that.
They went a little overboard on that one.
Yeah.
I agree.
I mean, well, she was fighting, I mean, just a series of what we have to assume are Romulans.
Yeah, Romulans.
But they have acid blood?
It was supposed to be a tooth, and that was hard to see too. They like cracked down on a tooth. Yeah.
I was like, "Oh my god, they're xenomorphs!" Xenomorphs breeding with Romulans.
Confused as well.
Yeah, it was very odd. And then, of course, the thing blows up, and
and she dies. Was it a fake out?
It was, but again, we're just how many copies of her are there now?
Well, there's now one. There's one because they come in pairs.
Yeah, but how many pairs did we make?
We don't know.
We don't know that yet.
Yeah. Exactly. So you could just keep killing. I'm that worried me when I was like, oh, you killed her off and you brought her back already. So we've already killed the Chosen One and resurrected her. All right.
Well, no, it's, it was very distinctly said that they're twins before she dies.
But for all practical purposes, you're interested in her because she is the,
exactly.
The son of, of, she's an android.
And we're never going to know her story now.
Yeah.
We're never going to know, like, I bet you we're never going to know, like, her story of, like, false memories or where she came from.
I would imagine.
I think we'll probably learn her story through the other one.
Maybe she knows
about her. She talks about having a sister.
She does.
So she's got the same family.
If she called her mom,
it would be that same lady who's clearly in on it.
I thought that was a hologram.
Oh, that mom is definitely in on it.
I thought that was a hologram.
Well, I was wondering that.
She did, like, a little, like, when she gave her, like, a different response, like it was interference.
I thought maybe that could just be a transmission interference, but it could have been. The point that got across for both of us was that it was fake. And this was a setup.
Yes. I almost was thinking it was happening. I don't know. I think I'm way out in left field, but it was almost happening in her head. Like she,
it,
there was
it,
some
there
sort
was
of programming where she was
too,
doing
yeah.
it, and she's seeing this.
I almost
nobody else would.
Say that too.
Oh, I thought when Picard woke up on his couch that the whole thing was going to be.
That's what I thought too.
I was like, no.
I'm glad.
Thank God they didn't do that. I was the Red Letter guys did get it right when they said why wasn't he in a hospital?
Exactly.
Like, that was a bit weird.
What the fuck?
And the cloaking device thing is strange, but also
That sounded
No, there's a larger conspiracy going on, and I think we have proof of that. In the fact that there would be more evidence than just, oh, the cameras didn't pick up because there was a cloaking field around you guys. Yeah. You're talking about phaser burns, there was an explosion, acid everywhere. They had to find some evidence of this, so there's clearly a greater cover-up.
Yeah, agreed.
There's definitely...
on. Totally.
I feel like we're definitely going to be seeing Section 31.
Which is why I do think these guys are Section 31. Yeah.
They have such a hard
and they're like Tal Shiar guys that like came over
That's
to
what I wonder, though. Is it Tal Shiar? Is it Section 31? Or are they working together?
I think they're working together.
You think they're working together?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And I do like that. I would like to the Tal Shiar, just from a lore perspective, I love the Tal Shiar.
Yeah.
I love the Obsidian Order. I love the fucking...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just the Black Ops shit that they do.
Stuff,
But I think that, like... It set up. I was worried that it was going to go right into Picard swinging from shit, and
no, he can't.
No, they had somebody younger in there. For that's how they got their action. Mm-hmm.
But they, I like the character that Picard is now. I think they gave him
He's strong.
Very good reason to be disillusioned with Starfleet.
That was an interesting thing that they did. Yeah,
that was weird.
And
we'll see where it goes.
I think that like, and I do like how. I mean, I personally, I don't know if you like, but I would imagine you don't. I like a little bit of the social commentary that they did.
I'll be honest, there wasn't as much.
There
as
wasn't
I was
as much, but I liked...
After what you guys were saying, I expected there to
to
be a big deal.
That's what he had said in interviews. That's what Picard or Stewart had said. Yeah,
I didn't. I really didn't think this was incredibly woke at all.
No, it wasn't charged at all.
No, I thought it was.
It was like one bit. You know,
it was
the interview. Basically.
The interview.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was...
and it wasn't even that, but it was.
I thought it was more so we're talking about the same thing we've been talking about with data and artificial life forms, which is that we're going to have to get to a point in a society where we have to figure out what
I
we consider to be alive.
I definitely hope so.
And
that's
what we consider to... Yeah. So there's clearly like... And that's what this is going to be about, because she's a flesh and blood android, and like, how can you deny that is like a you know, human being with rights, and do you have a soul, and all this stuff. These are all...
But didn't
like,
they... lore nitpick... But didn't they, in Measure of a Man...
That's what I was going to say. This is the plot of Measure of
a
Man.
This is Measure of a Man,
yeah.
Because didn't they say, confirm that Data was...
Yep.
Was a life form in Measure of a Man?
Is Measure of the Man
well, enough
the,
to have
the
Bruce
episode
Maddox
where they have the trial?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, in for that, but courts redefine things all the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who's to say your rights aren't going to get stripped away tomorrow, Jay?
That's a very good point.
That's right. You know who in office. I mean, you know, I'm concerned. Anyway, so I did not think there was a lot of wokeness in the show.
Yeah, it was...
Because that I don't think is a political question. That's something that's not political. AI, are we going to...
No,
like,
that's not what...
Is it a life
not,
form?
That's not what we're talking
that's
about.
That's not what we're
talking about. That's not politics. You guys are talking about the refugees.
Yeah, yes. That's the political part. Yeah.
I don't think that's... Correction. I do think that's political, but I think that's... I didn't take it as political because it's not really... Like, it's kind of a straw man. Like, there's... These people are refugees. The real argument between Americans is what you do about migrants. Like, the people who we complain about coming over our borders are primarily people who are coming over here for economic reasons, not humanitarian reasons. So the refugee crisis didn't strike me as a good analogy.
Well, no, they
for...
have that more in Europe where, I'm going to butcher all of this, but that's a more European issue with refugees coming from...
Oh, so maybe it spoke to them a bit more in that regard?
That was more like...
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was...
So that would be...
Jesus Christ, what am I... It was like a year or two ago.
Yeah, there's tons of refugees in Europe from Syria and stuff like that.
Thank you. And that was more of a European thing. Like, will we close our borders? Should we take them in?
Right.
I want to say Brexit had, or was it Brexit? They campaigned on that.
I don't know.
Or
I don't follow
a recent
European
election.
I have enough trouble with American.
This
politics.
Is where I'm like butchering. But
Europeans,
I mean,
gotta figure it out
I think
themselves.
That was.
But I think that we're not saying that. And we're not. I was just trying to say that, like, it wasn't as political as I thought, and that
oh,
was
absolutely.
The only part that was at all political.
I would definitely say that was the most political.
Yeah, that's
yes,
part
that's
of
what
it. I was. That's what we were saying.
And I was thinking about this, Jay, because you had asked me the question the other day, like, what would I consider political? Immigration. And refugees, those I think are inherently political issues because they're issues that are decided on at a state, like a governmental level.
Right.
And there's no real way to decide that any other way.
Yeah.
So we have to get together and make a decision as a group as to what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So that would be a great example of something that's like inherently political.
Yes.
I mean, it's still also a social issue, but politics is downstream of everything. So Yeah, that, I was thinking about that as I watched it. I was like, "Ooh, this is political."
And I did.
But not
I
American liked... political, interestingly enough.
Yeah. I mean, and
I think it was. I think it's also like a, even though, it. I mean, it's speaking to the same kind of empathy that they're trying to reach in people, both refugees and immigrants. I feel.
Yeah.
I guess I just think they're just so different in what they're.
I think they're more worried about the concentration camps. Like, that's kind of the, like, it's the bad stuff we do with immigrants at the moment, I think is maybe what they're trying to say.
There's no concentration camps in the United States, Brandon.
All right.
There's nothing I would call a concentration camp. When you say concentration camps, we all think of, like, Dachau. There's not a concentration camp in the United States. There are detainment facilities for people who have broken a law and crossed the border illegally.
Detainment
but we're not even talking about those
bad.
People because, well, maybe if, you know, the Senate and the Congress would give some money to Trump when he asks for it to help at the border because we have a migrant crisis and everyone calls it fake news.
The House approved the budget that Trump sent over.
Right. After how long? After how long of saying, there's no crisis. We're getting off track because this isn't even the point. Those are migrants and we're talking about refugees. And the United States takes in more refugees than any other country on the planet.
Again,
for the past 100 years.
They're speaking to the anti-immigrant, anti-migrant.
Yeah, xenophobic.
Xenophobia that is invariably, whether you feel it or not, because I don't think that you feel it.
The writers definitely wrote it out trying to
there
speak to
is
people
a,
about that.
Yes. There is a large sect of the American right that does. Yes. And I think that's what it's speaking to. I don't think it's speaking to middle of the road Dave, who has views on economic issues, who has reasonable, logical points to make.
Yeah.
It's speaking, speaking to the fear-mongering. Yeah, exactly.
I absolutely hear what you're saying. And it is inherently political. You're absolutely right. But I just didn't think it spoke to...
It didn't speak to you,
It didn't speak
sure.
to the issue sure as well as it could have. You could have set up a better analogy if that's what you wanted to talk about.
But this was also what they had to work with, too, from the...
That's true. And the whole Romulan thing, like, we're now committed... I mean, it's fucking silly as all shit because I don't know.
Plot wise, I know there's issues with
the
it.
Androids came in because of the peacekeeping armada and they destroyed everything. But
well, they
what?
Still don't know why they went rogue. And
excuse me,
I don't think they were under any illusion that they were getting them because they didn't want the Romulans. The synthetics just
but that's the thing.
Went
I don't understand
crazy.
Why those events were tied together.
They kind of weren't. It was
that's
just like
what,
they chose that time to attack.
I agree with that. That was weird.
That's why I felt disjointed and a little
and
bit
I agree.
Silly.
So I would imagine we're gonna. I would hope.
I hope
we're gonna get some clarification on that.
I think that was intentionally left vague.
Well, obviously, there's like a teaser.
Yeah.
In there, where you know it's Borg related.
Well, clearly,
I mean, it's clearly like we're using Borg technology to augment Android.
Yeah, like it's all pretty relatively spelled out for you already. Mm-hmm. Kind of like there's these splinter Romulans, bad guy Romulans that are building this cube. Because they are mad
are they
at the way that,
the cube
and one
or are
emo
they
Romulan.
The
yeah, they're more emo.
Who's just like he is like emo Spock. Where he's
he
just
is.
Like,
yeah, he really
he's
is.
Like, hey, how you doing? I'm wounded.
He's like
inside.
We lost.
Oh, hi. How are you? Such a weird.
It was a weird introduction.
Like, that we've all seen Romulans.
That scene was like I feel like stuffed in right at the end when it could have been. It fleshed out better, longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, introduce these characters. Like, it was
a
quick, like...
If you were going to do that, yeah, you should have had, like, a quick pan, and you should have seen the woman who we know, the identical twin, and then, like, a zoom out of the cube, and, like, then you introduce that guy next episode. Because that was...
Okay, yeah.
They packed a bunch in.
Yeah, I was just like, who the fuck is this guy?
And which is weird
evil.
Because it already was at... I want to say it ran 51 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
So, like, why not take an extra 3 minutes at that point?
Yeah.
Make it a 54-minute run because you can do whatever the fuck you want. It's your
right.
Own
it's your
site.
Thing.
Syndication.
You know? So
you think it's got to fit in like
no
the time 51 slot.
Minutes doesn't fit in a. It's a 40 syndicated hours a 44-minute runtime.
Yeah, but it could be edited.
Yeah, they will have to edit it down if they do it. That's a because with commercials it's a 44-minute run.
I just think that going back to runtimes, I feel like it's almost even traditional. Like, even if there's like barely any logistical reasons, there are reasons to still keep it at an hour. Just because, like,
broadcasters know that. No, I don't think you should be going longer than an hour for like.
It's just outside of the norm. And I think that, you know, as we know, broadcasting is very resistant to change.
Yeah.
That even though they have carte blanche to make however long of an episode they want, they won't.
Because I just think they have
tight
like
50 minutes. They probably writers, have like writers write to about that length. Like
that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, everyone's like locked too. Into that yeah. format
exactly.
Like the so. Unions probably have like hours probably. That they gotta work. Exactly, and it's like yeah. you do a typical schedule over X amount of days, and you divide that into
precisely.
Chunks, and that gets you X amount of footage.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably just that's the way they've been doing it. Mm-hmm. So that's the way they're gonna keep on doing it until yeah. somebody does something different.
But
like
I'm with you.
Who does full hour?
I do miss like when every once in a while you get like an extra long episode or whatever. But mm-hmm. they're not going to do that.
No, I think it'll be around 50. Yeah,
yeah,
50, 51.
Yeah, it's it was curious. I'll tell you where stuff I didn't like. We talked about a lot of stuff that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That the intro. How did you guys feel about the intro?
It's better than Discovery.
It's better than Discovery.
It probably
which
is.
By basically my opinion for the whole thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm still not a fan. I still miss the. The old like
a ship
spaces.
Moving yeah. through space yep. and yep. like a good trumpet section like dun 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 dun
just
dun,
orchestral
dun, dun.
Just like yeah. a nice orchestral yeah. soundtrack mm-hmm. and opening.
I mean, this was
like, but it was orchestral.
It was Journey of the Heart. It was orchestral. Yeah,
yeah. But it, you're right. But something that lifts the spirits.
Yeah.
Something
it's
that
like a powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That crescendo at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't need, you know, Picard talking in the intro. I just
no. You
I
don't need
just
it.
Like to see like even Voyager like. I like the Voyager intro. Like, you know,
wow. Well, it was part of that same is that family. It yeah. had it mirrored mm-hmm. the intros of DS9 and TNG.
Exactly, they were going for a thing.
Yeah,
this they're just like, yeah, we'll do some fucking abstract art.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll show microscopic images of amoebas, and that'll
and then
be cool.
We'll show it all. Conglomerating into
Picard's face.
Yeah,
it was like, wow, what yeah, a vanity project, first of all.
I mean, a bit
do you
of
think
this
he
is.
Came in and was like, I want my bust?
Oh, a lot of this is. This was all, a lot of it driven by him.
Yeah,
he was
behind a lot of this.
He wow. was the one who wanted to do this before he died, basically.
That is crazy, because he was so not a fan mm-hmm.
yep.
of Star Trek.
He's come a long
beginning.
Way.
He really has.
Yep.
Wow.
He hated Star Trek in season one.
Yeah.
He
oh, yeah.
hated it.
He didn't even buy a house in LA because he was like, oh, I'll be done in a year.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really glad he did come back to it because I think that this has...
It has potential.
...potential to go places. I really am hoping... And I mean, this is probably season two and season three that I would be more realistic seeing this. I am not opposed to them bringing people... I would love to see Michael Dorn back. I would love to see...
Yeah.
I would love to see, and I've said many times, I want to see post-Dominion War reconstruction somehow.
I know. I wish they would do that. I really
I don't know
do
if you can still do that here, or if you can make some... I would love to see the Dominion back and see what's going on with
How
the
How long
founders.
Has it been?
25... Well...
Like, in universe.
In universe, it would have been 20 or 19 years.
Okay.
19 years.
Since the end of the series or since the end of the movies?
Since the end of the
know,
Dominion
man.
War.
Oh, the end of the Dominion War.
Post-Dominion War is 19 years. It takes place... Or ooh, actually. Yeah, no. Yeah, because it's 25 years after...
Can we all just agree that the movies never happened?
Yeah, that's kind of what
I think kind just, of we're doing
we'll
that.
We'll just do that?
Yeah.
Was that unspoken? Did I ruin that?
I think...
No, exactly. We all knew that, dude.
Yeah. I think that this picks up so 25 sad. Years after All Good Things.
What a beautiful franchise to ruin with
oh
a series
my God.
Of four.
I mean,
no.
more
again,
mediocre
I still think
best movies.
First Contact is good. I still enjoy
it's the best
that.
Of the bunch.
It is the best of the bunch, but it's not.
It's just
much.
Action yeah. Schlock.
Yeah. It is. It just has the Borg in it, and the Borg are so cool. Yeah.
And it just got progressive.
And that was before Voyager killed the Borg.
Yeah,
because
yes.
that was only what like three right. years after.
Now
like,
they're no
the
big
things.
Deal.
Yeah,
it's like Borg.
And this is what they're going to have to do in this now. Whether it's just going to be the Romulans who've cannibalized this Borg cube and rebuilding it, or whatever they're doing.
Oh, we're going to see the Borg.
Oh yeah,
or
the,
are we
going to
see
like?
Well,
in
I saw
the trailer.
Hugh.
Yeah, Hugh's going to be in it. Hugh's
oh
back.
Really? I didn't
same
see
actor.
But are we
going
to see like you know Borg Queen? Are we going to see? Like legit drones, cubes, spheres.
We're gonna see cubes, I bet.
You think like a Borg, and
we
how are you gonna
one,
rebuild
kinda.
The Borg? To
it's
be
hard
an
to know
threat.
The status of the Borg at the time. I mean, we know they've been decimated, but you got to think there's Borg out there who have like survived. Like we see so many times where they just run into
well,
rogue
they
Borg.
Destroyed a unicomplex, but they didn't destroy
the entirety of the Borg.
That was the question that was left hanging at the end of Voyager mm-hmm. that I wish they answered in one way or the other. Was like
I don't know. I kind of like them out there looming,
just looming.
Yeah.
But then, how do you rebuild them as a threat?
You just do.
You just do. Like all of a sudden, they're just
they find some
Jay,
technology.
They're gonna Star Wars the shit out of this.
Yeah,
like all the things that you have in your beta cannon are gonna get blown the fuck.
This is I'm talking alpha cannon. I am talking pure alpha cannon right now.
I'm sure you have them discover some type of technology that does something fucking.
Or maybe they finally
they've readapted
or they assimilate 8472 or something like that.
Yeah, something crazy, and now they're whatever. Now they're super bored.
I mean, they're gonna have to acknowledge it because 7's gonna be in it, so they're gonna have to acknowledge.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Well, they're definitely going to show Janeway in the gulags, so. The fucking
Janeway
war criminal.
Time for war
crimes. Jay, your degree in Federation law is in question.
Send her to the gulags.
To be decided by the courts of the Federation, who are apparently like not that good at anything, because there's like a giant Federation like fight in the middle of Starfleet. Which,
that one was really bad.
Yeah, it was there's a bit of schlock in it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but it's Star Trek.
It's not Star Trek, though.
It's Star Trek. It's for what it's worth, it is Star Trek now. What we have.
The laser fight on the roof wasn't Star Trek. That's not Star Trek.
I'm saying, for future reference, like, this is the Star Trek we have. It's not Star Trek that we love. It's not old Star Trek, but forward, they're not going to go back. They're not going to change it.
Oh, this is the best we're going to get.
This is the best we're going to get.
Until 30 years from now, when they come out with TNG 2.
Yeah, right. Phase 2.
Finally, someone's going to realize what we all want.
It's the Orville. You need to watch the Orville. what you want, Dave, is the Orville.
I do have to watch that. I haven't seen it.
It is exactly what you want, and there's just dick jokes in there. it's literally TNG with dick jokes.
How do you take it seriously with Brian, Captain of the Ship?
It's weird, yeah.
It's weird, but I don't love it, but I do like it.
I think it's okay, but I don't love it.
If you want more TNG, it's written by, I mean,
Seth MacFarlane is the biggest one.
Loves TNG, and he's just trying to recreate TNG. I have no problem with.
Just don't give it to J.J. Abrams to make movies about.
Again.
Did they fire any Federation phasers? This is a really random question. Okay.
What?
A single one.
No, yeah. The only phasers were fired
were the
Romulan
guys, disruptors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were disruptors, yeah.
So, yeah, because I'm wondering what might actually make me a little... Like, I like the Federation phasers, where it's like the beam of light. I don't want them to fucking just give them fucking
everything
pistols.
Was all blaster bolts.
Yeah, I don't want blaster bolts.
It was all Star Wars style.
Teaser, 709, oh, fucking
you're
dual-wielding
right,
rifles.
You
you're like, oh, here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, I want, like, my Type 3 phaser rifle or, like, my hand phaser. Because that's what makes combat... That's what always made combat in Star Trek so much, like, slower and more methodical and had to... You couldn't have those, like... super action schlocky things because a phaser beam took time to travel a certain distance. So you kind of had to have a slower, more methodical fight.
Pace, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I feel like it seems like such a small nitpick, but it does change the entire way
it changes
you have
the
to
pace
choreograph.
The yeah,
fight
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, it does.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to have fully automatic.
It requires like a rhythm to it.
Yes.
You get less jump cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
No, it's true. Jump Cut City.
Yeah.
Yes. Jump Cut City.
Yeah.
Combat with
especially
those.
During the combat scene.
Less than Discovery, though. Less than Discovery.
In the combat. Yeah, sure. Sure.
I did like the Captain Picard Day banner.
yeah.
Like,
why did he have a bat left? I was more about why
yeah,
did he
right?
like.
Did he get that when he was standing in for Worf? Or no, I guess he didn't get one.
Maybe.
You got to imagine dude's got a bat left.
I think Gowron probably sent him
one. You got to imagine. It's not Gowron, it's Martok.
Seems like an un-Captain Picardly thing. He likes books.
He was close with Gowron.
He's more of a book guy.
He is. He did argue... that's one of my favorite things about Patrick Stewart. For his transition from fucking hating Star Trek to arguing that he shouldn't, that Jean-Luc Picard would not have a lionfish. He would never have a captive animal.
Yeah.
In like the later seasons.
And so they made it a hologram.
Yeah. That's like one of my favorite. Patrick Stewart fucking loves Star Trek and gets this character.
Interesting.
Moment.
He would never have a captive animal.
He argued about that and he got that change. So it's like fucking funny.
So strange.
But it's like that's how it shows how
Scout's a captive animal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but more but it's fine. Domesticated. Like
domesticated, like can kind of run free a little
bit. I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
But I like
it seems like a weird word for a pet. I don't know.
I might be using
you're
the
not
wrong...
slaughtering it for food. These no, aren't cattle. But okay, whatever.
I might be using the wrong word that he used, but like I like that he it
Pat
shows
wants to put his own touch on it.
Well, yeah.
That's fine.
It shows that he
deserves it.
Cares that deeply
about
character,
you
know, which is what I think matters when you're doing. It's super easy to do a remake, as we've seen, as is kind of the theme of our show. It is super easy to do a remake with as just a complete cash grab with people who don't give a fuck about it.
Mm-hmm.
And While Kurtzman may, it may be a cash grab for him, and he may not give that much of a fuck about
there's
the track.
Michael Chabon is the producer. He's a good producer. Yeah. I know.
But you have people in there, and the Trek, the actors in general, like, with the exception of a few, they do really appreciate the fandom, and they do really, like, look back on their time. Whenever you hear interviews with them, they look back on their time with the show as something they really enjoy. So it's
most
always
of them. Like, I don't, there's not too many people who worked on Star Trek who were like, eh, fuck that time.
Even like Terry Farrell when she came back for,
she had problems
for,
with Rick Berman, but she still loved everybody. Yeah.
Who's Terry Farrell?
Terry Farrell. She played Dax.
Yeah, Dax.
Jadzia.
Oh,
she married Adam Nimoy, Leonard Nimoy's son.
Yeah.
Oh, that's neat.
Like, so they're kind of a big family. It's crazy.
That's why I always like seeing Trek people, and that's why Discovery you could never see that because it wasn't old Trek actors could come back.
It was people dressed up as old Trek actors.
So it's just like nice to see, like even in Voyager when LeVar Burton came in Timeless and he was captaining the Galaxy class cruiser, like, you know, he loves Star Trek and like,
oh, he's directed so many episodes.
Yeah, these people love the product that they're doing and it makes you feel good about it. Even if it doesn't go that great in the end, it still makes me feel good as a fan to know that there are people who are trying and care about the product. And it's not just
and
crap.
You could definitely see Patrick Stewart, you know, his love of the character shown through in this.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. He's doing the absolute best he can at 105 years old.
Exactly. He's so old.
Man, oh man. But I just could not get over that too. That was a big problem for me. Every time I looked at him, I was like, oh, buddy.
He's super old.
Made me feel old. I was like, damn.
We are, dude. I mean, I was thinking.
But Patrick Stewart started old.
He did. He went bald like really early and went white really early.
I was thinking about it like my first episode of TNG. I was 5 years old.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? I think I was 5 years old. Encounter Farpoint.
So much. So many episodes. So many times.
And I watched every episode of Star Trek for
all time, like, for the entire time,
for the time, for all the time. Like,
yeah, same here. We all have.
It's just nuts to, and it does. It was making me feel really old when I was thinking about that. I was like, man, I went 12 years watching Star Trek every week, and that's also part of it for me is the nostalgia that I can watch
a weekly
Star Trek again, and it's like it's just nice.
Sure.
Especially because they're gonna be rotating them too. So we'll have Picard, then we'll have Discovery, then we'll have Picard, then we'll have Discovery probably. So.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
if Discovery makes it past the third season. I'm skeptical I don't think it makes it past the third season.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even remember the last season. There was a Red Angel. And it was
really dumb.
Spock's cousin, turns out.
It was really dumb.
Remember, it was the mom, but then it was also Bo Berman.
It wasn't the Borg. It should have been the Borg.
Wasn't the Borg.
It should have been
definitely not the Borg.
Everything can't be the Borg.
Everything should be the Borg.
Everything can't be the Borg. You got to have them lurk out there.
Just man.
The thing is, it's
or like, Q. It could have been Q.
Like I want like lore to come back, but like then it's like it's still Brent Spiner.
Nah.
But like he's.
I don't want creepy Data.
Like
thing.
Evil Data.
I don't.
Evie rapey Data.
Yeah, lore had our super
so
rapey.
Creepy.
You don't think Q would come back?
I don't think John DeLancey.
I don't think they're gonna ask John DeLancey to come back.
Really?
Yeah, I hope they do. It would be cool. Certainly a follow-up to All Good Things.
That'd be such a fun little interaction between the two of them.
It would.
Well, it's not a follow-up to All Good Things because it's a follow-up to...
It has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying
it's a follow-up to Death
Wish. That
was his last appearance. In Voyager, Death
Wish. I'm talking with Picard, though.
Oh.
Or not Death Wish.
I'm talking about the anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
The relationship.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Jean-Luc and Q have.
Precisely.
Yes. I mean...
It's kind of the whole beginning
Kathy
of the
and Q have their own unique relationship.
Yeah.
But... Is there something
That's where
special?
Got a little rapey.
See, he did. But he's omnipotent. Like you got to figure if he really wanted to.
That's true. I mean, he could have.
He was exercising discretion as a god.
Oh, man.
If you know anything about the Greeks, when you get to god level,
it's true.
Just that's a courtesy.
No, I don't want to be on the show anymore.
Even for Jean-Luc. If he wanted to bone Jean-Luc, that was happening
too.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
I'm sure.
All gods are a little rapey. That's why the Catholic Church is so... Yeah. Once you're God tier level, it's just... You could do anything.
Is that going in your bit? That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Yes.
That should go in your bit.
I don't know what I'm talking about because we didn't talk about the bit on air.
Oh, whatever.
My special coming out this October.
What was it called again, Dave?
I don't remember.
No, Dave's
Jack-O-Lantern Off.
Jack-O-Lantern Off. That's right. Yeah, it's coming out on Halloween.
Real funny.
Yep.
It's great, guys. We previewed it. You'll love it.
I needed to kill 5 minutes. I had to work the room a little bit. Come up with some new material.
You might need to work at it a bit.
I got until October.
That's fair.
Oh, man. But yeah, Picard, I think I'm excited for it. I was jaded when I went into it, but I'm definitely on board.
I'm anticipating the next episode.
I mean, yeah. I hope it doesn't jump the shark really early, but
I will look at it with my eyes and allow it into my body.
So Cobb's eyes you, Dave. Uncovered. Marchese, his eyes.
Eyes uncovered. What's the response? When the walls fell.
When the walls fell.
Oh, God. Somebody's name. It's like Jehora. When the walls fell.
Darmok
and Jalabra. When the walls fell.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Fucking nerds.
That's a
I
really
love
good
that
cut,
episode.
But...
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's a great episode.
I love that episode.
Picard's wearing a special sweater vest in that one. It was one of the weird wardrobe Picard ones.
Darmok and Jalada Tang?
At Tenabra.
Tenabra.
Yeah. It's a meme now.
It is.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah. It is.
As people who exist on the internet, we should probably know it.
Yeah, but we do.
Anyway, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing where they take it. Hopefully, it's not a total pile of garbage. They've got Patrick Stewart relatively close to the helm, so.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess thanks guys for hanging out for Our Lady and the Tramp review.
Yeah.
you
could just talk more about Star Trek. You could just call me and I'll talk to you about Star Trek.
Anytime
anywhere. You want. Like you just
got a Star Trek hotline.
Literally just give me a call and we could talk about
it's
Star
900
Trek.
900 number. You can call up and talk dirty about Star Trek.
It doesn't even have to be dirty. Like we could just talk about Star Trek. Like,
it doesn't have to be about
Starfleet.
But like 90% of the calls
it
are.
It could be dirty. Like if you want it to be dirty. But like if you just want to talk about like what comm badge design is best, like we could do that too.
I would talk to anybody about the Cardassians.
It's mostly just
any day of the week. Like, I love Cardassians.
I do
so
love
much.
Cardassians. I
Such
do hope we see
unexplored
Cardassians.
Culture.
It's mostly just sweaty men in their basements calling, talking about how hot Marina Sirtis is.
Yeah, you're right.
You say you talk about anything.
Yeah, but I don't like okay, like Star Trek lore, though.
Is this a 900 number or not?
I watch sexy
Please
Star
put
Trek.
Put your dick away.
I'm paying for this.
I'm going to start that up. I feel like...
The thing is, Star Trek has a natural market. It might be
it
successful.
It might be successful. Like,
you can leverage Star Trek into a lot of shit.
Like, hey, just talk to me about Star Trek. Like, I feel like that's a call-in show.
Yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
There's enough people on the internet.
Oh, yeah. I would do that.
I mean, I wouldn't, but I know you.
We already watch a bunch of Trek YouTube.
We already talk about Star Trek all the time.
I mean, is there anything else to cover?
No, I guess not, really.
All right. I'm sure we'll talk about the next episode next week at some point, and you guys will be joining us for Dumbo, the greatest movie about an elephant since, I don't know, it's not a lot of them, so...
What was that one with Bill Murray? Where they get
Dumbo?
Operation Dumbo Drop. Operation Dumbo Drop.
You're right. That one was better.
I've seen it.
It's better.
I saw that in theaters.
I'm going to put $50 on the table now and say that movie was better than both movies we're going to watch.
I think they're both
takers. Any takers?
No, I'm not taking that back. Right. It's probably true.
Because now that you say that, yeah, that was a great movie.
I don't want to watch it.
I'm going to watch that too. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this. Operation Dumbo Drop. Yes.
Seen that movie.
Hashtag.
Oh, God.